Today's daf is Bamitzia daf Chaf Dalid. We left off on daf Chaf Gimel and Beis. We're right at the two dots at the bottom of daf Chaf Gimel and Beis. So the Mishnah had said, toward the end of the Mishnah said, Kol Klei Anpuria, and it was a word we didn't translate. We said, any Kalim of Anpuria, whatever that might mean, in Chayiv L'Hachrus. You don't have to go and announce, apparently you're allowed to keep it for yourself. So, Frek the Gemara right now, my Anpuria. What exactly is Anpuria? What kind of Kalim are these that you don't have to announce and look for the person who lost it? Some Rav Yudam Shmuel, Kalim Chadashim Shlo Savatana Ayin. These are brand new Kalim that no one has gotten used to them. That a person, Rashi says, Adayin Lo Hurgal Beri Iasan Vitashmishan. You haven't gotten used to seeing it all the time, using it all the time, Shema Kiran Yafa, to the extent that you would recognize it very well. Meaning you don't recognize it very well because it's a brand new Kli. Veloshin Anpuria Natrikon. Ein po ri'iyah. There is no such word on Puria. It's really a combination of three words. Ein po ri'iyah, that we do not have real sight over here. I mean, you're seeing it is not recognition. You may see it, but you certainly don't recognize it because you haven't grown accustomed to it yet. It's too new to grow accustomed to it. Sayechidami. Frekling Gemara, but what exactly is the case where you're not going to have to be machriz because it's so new? If it has a simin, what do I care that you're not used to seeing it yet? If you have a simin, you etched something on it that's a symbol or something like that, that you know that it's yours because of a simin, so what difference does it make if you are used to seeing it or not? If your simin is there, that's good enough. And if there's no simin, even if you are used to seeing it, why would we believe you to say that it's yours? It's if you have no simin to say that it's yours, of course you're going to want to take anything. Anybody will come and claim something valuable. Why would we believe a guy to say that it belongs to him if there's no simin on it? So when is it ever going to be nogea to know that something is a klei anpuria, that something is a new kli, shelo savatanayin, that people have not grown used to seeing and become accustomed to having. So says Gemara Liolam de Lasbu Simin. Enochinami, we're talking about a case where there's no simin, and Nafkamina La Aduri Litzur Mirabanan Bitviyaseina. You want to know why would we ever return it to somebody if they don't have a simin? Because if the person is a Tzur Mirabanan, and therefore we know that they're extremely trustworthy, person is a Talmud Chacham, and we know that they're trustworthy, so then if they claim that they recognize it, we're going to give it to them. But that's only Savatana Ayin Kimle Begavayu Madrinale, when it's something that he's grown accustomed to having and is used to seeing around, so then we're pretty certain that he has recognition of it, and therefore we're going to return it to him. But Kilo Savatana Ayin Lo Kimle Begavayu Vlo Madrinale, if it's not Savatana Ayin, if it's not something that he's grown used to, so we don't believe he really knows that well, what is and is not his, and therefore we're not going to return it to him, even if he claims that he recognizes it. He may believe he recognizes it, but may not be on the mark entirely, because he just doesn't have that much familiarity with it to this point. Dam Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel, Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel says, Bahani tlas mili avdi rabbanu demishana bimilayhu, meaning what the Gemara is going to try to establish now is, who says that the Rabbanan don't lie? So he says, no, the rule is, the halacha is, that the Rabbanan are only allowed to lie about three things. What are they allowed to lie about? Number one, b'meseches, when it comes to learning. Number two, b'puria, when it comes to their bed. And number three, b'ushpizo, when it comes to their host. So we're going to get back to each of those in a second. Just let's finish off the thought. So says Gemara, my nafkamina, why do I need to know what the Rabbanan lie about and what they don't lie about? What's the nafkamina in all this? Nafkamina is if you're going to return an aveda to him when he just by his recognition, even though he doesn't have a simin. If we don't know, if we know that he doesn't lie about anything other than these three things, then if he has a tvius ayin, if he claims that he recognized the aveda, that's good enough for us, and we're going to go and return it to him. But if he lies about anything else, if we ever find that he lies about anything else, then we're not going to go and return an item to him, return an aveda to him, just based on the tviyas ayin, because then he's not a real tzur mirabanan in terms of the integrity that a tzur mirabanan is expected to have. So what are these three things? So the first one we said is b'maseches. So says Rashi, yesh b'yadcha maseches ploni sedura b'girsa olav. Someone asks him, do you know this Masechta really well? V'yafakal shesedurihi lo yomer lo lav. Even though he does know it really well, he should say no. Umidas anavihi. That's the proper anivus. That's humility. That's what we expect a Talmud Chacham to have, a certain amount of humility. And for that, he's allowed to lie. So it says Tosos Vim Tomar. Wait a second, Tos says, how can you lie about knowing something? I thought the Gemara in Kiddushin, very well known Gemara in Kiddushin, says Vishinanta means that it has to be mechudah beficha, that the Torah has to be so sharp and so fluent in your mouth that when someone asks you something, al tegamgim v'tomer lo, don't hesitate, you should be able to say it immediately. So that implies that you're not lying about knowing something. When you know something, you should respond immediately with confidence that you know it, and that's how well you're supposed to know it. So it says Tosfos Yishlomer, Dahainu Dafka Ba'adam Abalish, meaning one Lechora, one could have said that Al Tegam Tomelo Miyad could mean is referring to how well you should know it, that you should know it well enough to be able to do that. But the Lashon that the Gemara uses, Ela Tomelo Miyad, sounds like it's more than being able to say it, it's that you actually should say it, that when someone questions you, you should be all over it. Says Tosfos, no, Hainu Dafka Ba'adam Abalishol Din Ohora'a Al Islamid. That's when someone needs an answer. They have a shaila in halacha, so it's not a good idea to start saying, well, I don't really know. If you know the answer in halacha, you're supposed to give the answer in halacha. Assuming, of course, you have a heter hora'a, you have the right to give answers in halacha. Without a heter hora'a, then that's the sugi in Sanhedrin. That's what we call smicha nowadays, is heter hora'a, is that we try not to paskin shailas unless the person has what we call smicha, which is heter hora'a, the right to paskin shailas. Now, it could be that's only something that requires a real psak, something that's just, you know, it says in Mishnah Berurah, it says in Mishnah Berurah such and such, that you don't need a heter hora, but if you know it, you should still share it. Aval hacha shabovin asoso im yodea mutu l'shano salom alo l'madit hizeh. But over here, where they're just trying to test you, they just want to show what a Talmud Chacham you are, they want to be mispoiled from how amazing you are, and how well you know things, they don't really believe you're a great Talmud Chacham, and they want to test you, so then it's better to just say, I don't know. And then you could be an anav, and you don't have to show off all of your knowledge. Okay, but certainly if your Torah is needed, they want to learn from you, and they want to psak halacha from you, so then there's no doubt that you have to share it. That's number one, that's Maseches. What's Puraya? What's Purya? Says Rashi, Shimashta mitascha yomar lav, midas tzniyasu. If someone asks you, did you have Tashmish Amita? You should say no, because that's tzniyus. That's midas tzniyus. You shouldn't go around a water cooler conversation, should not be about, bedroom exploits. That's not tzniyus. So even if someone asks point blank, which is hard to imagine someone would ask point blank, someone asks point blank, were you Mishamish Mita? You say no, outright lie, because that's tznius. You're allowed to lie for the sake of tznius. Says Rashi, says Tosas, rather, Beporia, Ein regilu sheishalu, Kapirish Rashi. Tosas, who asks you that? How often does that come up? Someone asks, what, Mishamish Mita? Yimshimish Mita, so, Eli im Balkeri haya, v'lo balabes ha-medrish. No, the issue is, the guy is a Balkeri, and he doesn't come to the Beis HaMedrash because he's Tameh, he's a Balkari. Visha'alu, and they ask him, Lam lo ba? Why didn't you come to the Beis HaMedrash? So the answer should be, Yishani, he should lie. V'yomer shechola haya, usharu nasiru lo. Say, well, I had something else to do, I had a business dealing, I had this, I had that, I was sick, I wasn't feeling well. Come up with some other excuse. Don't say, I was a Balkari because I had Tashmish Amita. Right? That's what you don't say. That's the lack of tznius. But no one's asking you whether you had Tashmish Amita. Inami sha'alu shechafta al mita zu, lo yom alokein penyir bakeri v'yisgane. If a person knows that he slept on a certain bed, and there's keri on that bed, so if they ask you which bed you slept in, you shouldn't point them to that bed, because then they're going to see the keri on the bed, and that's going to be not nice. That's going to be a little bit disgusting, so better to lie about such a thing. Good, so the first two are clearly outright lies, right? Someone asks you, did you not learn this? Did you sleep there? Did you sleep with your wife? Or why didn't you come to the Beis Medrash? Just outright lie, say something that's completely not true. Now, interestingly, the Marsha has a third pshat in Puria. And he says, Puria is not Puria, it's Puraya. What does that mean? He says, we all remember the Gemara in the first parak of Megillah, Chayev Adam Levesume Bipuraya Adela Yada Bein Arham and Lebaruch Mordechai, that a person is supposed to get drunk on Purim to the extent that he's no longer able to tell the difference between Arham and Baruch Mordechai. Says the Marsha, Avidi Rabbanan de Mishanin Lomar de Lo Yada Gamim Hu Einu Mavusam Kol Kach V'Yada. The Rabbanan should pretend that they're at the point of Ad Lo Yada, even if they still know. Even if they still know the difference between Arham and Baruch Mordechai, they should pretend that they're at the point that they're Lo Yada Ben Arham and Baruch Mordechai. Essentially, even if people have a general chiyuv to get drunk on Purim, Talmud Chacham should be careful. Talmud Chacham should never get so drunk that he doesn't know the difference between Arham and Baruch Mordechai. Better for him to pretend he doesn't know the difference, so to set the example, I guess, set the mood or whatever, but he should never actually get to that point where he's Lo Yada Ben Arham and Baruch Mordechai. Marsha tries to make it consistent that all three are things that they ask you if you know something and you say you don't know. Right, or they ask you if you don't know and you say you do know. I mean, it's all about knowing. That the first one is about Maseches, where they ask you if you know Maseches and you say you don't know. Puria is they ask you if you don't know, right? Arham Baruch Mordechai, and you pretend they ask you if you know and you say you don't know. You pretend you don't know between Arham and Baruch Mordechai, even though really you do know the difference between Arham and Baruch Mordechai. And what's the third one? Ushpiza, also an interesting one. It says Rashi, Sha'alu al Ushpiza and Kibla B'Sever Panim Yafos. So they ask you about your host, if they were nice to you, if they were gracious. Va'amar lav mi detovehi. Va'amar lav, and you say no, they were really not so nice. It wasn't such a great Shabbos that I spent there or whatever. Mi detovehi, that's a good midah. Kadesh l'yikusabu b'nei adam, sheinu mugadin lavo tamir alav v'yichlos mamono. So you shouldn't have people who are always mooching off of good hosts. They're always trying to find giving people, and they're going to take advantage of the giving people and always go there for whenever they can. And they're going to end up causing them to lose all their money because they're going to spend every opportunity they can enjoying the generosity of the host. So in order not to put your host in that position, don't run around telling everybody what a great host they are. They're going to get too much of a reputation. People are going to take unfair advantage of them, and that's not right. Says Tosos, Bushpiza, Im Shalu and Kiblu Besever Panam Yafos, Yoma Log, it appears Rashi, Darmin Berichin, Mivarech Re'el Bekol Gadol, Babokar Hashkein Be'erev Klala to Chashiv Lo, that it's going to be a Klala for your host if you go, same like Rashi, if you go and tell everyone how great he was. Fractosus Lovim Tomar, Vaminim Bebrachos, Oreach Tov, Omer, Kol Mashatarch Balabayas, Lotarachel Beshvili. A good guest is supposed to say that everything the Balabais did, he did for me, meaning you're supposed to go around singing the praises of the Balabas. The Balabais was so nice to you, so kind to you, he did so much for you, you're supposed to go around saying how wonderful it was and how he did everything for you. Says Tosos, Yeshlomer, the Hasamari, Bein Bnei Adam, Mehuganim. Rashi was very careful. Rashi said, don't go and speak about the praises of the host because Shelo Yikbitsu Bnei Adam, She'enon Mehuganim. You shouldn't just go screaming about it, because then people who are not proper people who are going to take advantage will hear about it and will know to take advantage of the guy. But if you're speaking amongst your friends who are dignified, normal people who aren't going to take unfair advantage of somebody, that aren't looking to mooch off of a person, so v'hacha bein, right? So then you certainly should sing the praises of the host. Then it's the nice thing to do. V'hacha bein bnei adam sheinu mugadim. V'hadlo chash v'hacha mutal l'shanus bnei darkei shalom. Frek Tosos Mosi. So this is the question, the whole sugi over here, right? We have this thing. You're allowed to lie for three things. There's a Gemara, there's a whole sugi in Yevamos about how you're also allowed to lie for a fourth thing. You're allowed to lie mipnei darkei shalom. You're allowed to lie for the sake of keeping shalom. The Gemara has rayas from Yaakov Avinu. Whatever, you're allowed to lie for the sake of shalom. So says Tosfos, why isn't that mentioned over here? Why isn't that number four? Because I'm reading Parakap al Gemto, Mishum Dahani Nami, Mishum Darkei Shalom Hein. Virgilin Yosem Echem, Lahakin Nakatani. No, these are also cases of Darkei Shalom. These are also examples of Darkei Shalom. Darkei Shalom is a very broad category. You're allowed to lie to keep a sense of peace. All of these things are to keep a sense of peace. You're lying about the host because you don't want the host to be taken advantage of. That's also called shalom. You're lying about what you learned because you want to express a sense of humility. That's also shalom. If Talmid Chacham are viewed as arrogant, that destroys shalom in a community as well. You lie about whether you slept with your wife that night. That's certainly shalom bias that you have to be concerned about. So that's also an issue of shalom. All of these things are examples of shalom. That is the answer of Tosfos. Not everyone agrees with Tosfos. The Nimuka Yosef writes in the name of the Rif that the difference between this and Mipnei Darkei Shalom is that these three are optional. You're allowed to lie. Avidi Rabbanan Demishani. Rabbanan generally are in the habit of lying on these three things. But it doesn't mean there's no chiyuv to lie about these three things. It's something that's optional and that they're allowed to. But lying for shalom, for the sake of shalom, that's a chiyuv. It's obligatory to lie for shalom. And this is that was strongly implied, by the way, that when we say that you're Mishan Mepnei HaShalom, right, when the Gemara Nivamas darshans that you're Mishan Mepnei HaShalom, that it's not just that it's okay to lie Mepnei HaShalom, but that you should go out of your way and dafka try to lie for shalom, meaning that it's not just a heter that you're allowed to lie for the sake of shalom, but it sounds like it's like a mitzvah, that there's a chiyuv, you should try to lie, that the sheker becomes something that's not usher anymore. It becomes something that's like a mitzvah to do, right? We see that it's a chiyuv to lie for shalom, as opposed to these three, where it's only optional. The Rambam, in Gzeil Vaveh, the Perek Yudal, Ralecha Yud Gimel, lists all four together. He says you're allowed to lie about shalom, and Meseches, and Puria, right? You're allowed to lie about it, and he lists all four. Sounds like he does not distinguish between them in terms of what's a heter and what's a chiyuv. So that's there are other nafkaminas, meaning is it better to limit the lie? Should you try to lie as little as possible? So if it's a mitzvah to try to go out of your way to create the sense of shalom, so why limit it? It's not even an avera at all. It's not like a heter that you know bedochek that we're letting you lie. Nah, you're doing a great thing. So then it's better to right. That's Tosfos and Ksubas discusses. So the Gemara over there talks about Ketzah Merakta Lefnei Akal, the Gemara in Ksubas Daf Tezayin. What are you supposed to say when you dance in front of a Kala? So Beis Hillel says, Kala Nav Chasuda. Beis Shammai says, no, Kala Kamo Shehi. Right? So Tosfos discusses over there that Tosfos seems to say that Beis Shammai suggests leave the negative unsaid. Meaning Kala Kamo Shehi, meaning yeah, whatever good things she has, but don't emphasize the negative. And we pass them like Beis Hillel, who says you do what? You lie outright. Meaning it's not just praise her for the good things she has. Lie. Say Kala Nava Chasuda, even though she's clearly not Nah and she's clearly not Chasuda. Others say no. Kala Nava Chasuda is not an outright lie. Can never be an outright lie because those are opinions. So it's you don't say a Neha Yafos. You don't say she has nice eyes, okay? Because that everyone maybe she doesn't have eyes or whatever. You know, she's got whatever issues she has. Don't take something that she clearly doesn't have and lie about that. But certainly say Navi Chasud in the broader sense. So that issue also hinges on this point on whether the heter to lie Mipnei HaShalom is a heter or is it a mitzvah? Should you go out of your way to do it? Or just something that if that's what's necessary to keep the shalom, so you do whatever you can to keep the shalom. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Says the Gemara Vayter. Marzutra Chasida ignav lekasa de kasmi yishpiza. Marzutra Chasida had a silver coast stolen from his host. Says Rashi, even the cost of the cup, klei shel ushpizo haya. It was his host who lost the cup. It wasn't his cup. Meaning, when you read this Gemara, you could have easily said, and certainly it's the way I assumed before I saw Rashi, that Marzutra Chasida was by an ushpiza, and while he was by that ushpiza, while he was by that inn, he had a cost stolen from himself. But no, Rashi says it wasn't that it was stolen from him, it was stolen from the ushpiza. He saw one of the students washed his hands and then dried it in someone else's clothing. So Amar Hainu Hai Deloch Batay Mamon Dechavri. So that's the ganav right there, because you see that's a person who doesn't care about other people's money. Kafti Va'odi, and they interrogated him, and he was moda that in fact it was him who had stolen the money. Now why does Rashi go out of his way to say that it was dafka lost from the host and it wasn't lost from Arzutra Chasida? What's the point? Why would you go out of your way to say that? What's wrong with saying that Marzutra Chasid himself owned the coast and lost the coast? So says the Maritz Chayis, Nir Be'enai, Minale L'Rashi Hach D'Shal Ushpiza, V'Nir Adim Haya Shal Marzutra Ba'atzmo, had it belonged to Marzutra, Hari Asul Lasus Din L'Nafsha B'Dav Shein Muvurar. He couldn't paskin a halacha like this for himself and accuse somebody without any real evidence. Meaning it was not at all, but if it was only for himself, it was only to get his own money back, he never should do something like that without any real evidence. It wasn't for himself, it was for his ushbizo. He assumed that this guy has a propensity to steal, and he forced him in some way, either by beating him up a little bit or by putting him in some sort of cherim until the guy was moda, but he never would have been allowed to do that for himself. He's only allowed to do that to save somebody else money. If you have rayas, fine, then you're allowed to do that for yourself. But without any clear rayas, he wouldn't have been allowed to do that for himself. Now the Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out, no, there's a much more simple motivation that Rashi had for saying that it belonged to the Yushpiza. He says, Midash Min and Talmuda me Yushpiza Lamay Nafkamina. Why would it say where Mazutra was when the item was stolen, that he was by an Ushpiza? Who cares where he was? Why is that at all an important fact? Elamai, it's not an important fact. Point is, it wasn't stolen from Mazutra, it was stolen from the Ushpiza. And then he says, yeah, di idi de gufei lo avale lemevet hachi. If it was his, he shouldn't have done this. Afal gav deshari, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, even though it was mutter to do this, he still shouldn't have if it was his. Mikol makom ein midas chasidus. It's not a midas chasidus to do this, and this is a marzutra chasidu who dav lefnei mishuras adin. And he is a chasid, he should have gone lefnei mishuras adin if it was for his own sake. But because it belonged to his ushpizo, so therefore he doesn't have the right to be mochel and go lefnei mishuras adin on someone else's cheshbin, and therefore he was extra makbid. It seems Maritz Chayis and Rabbi Yaakov Emden disagree as to whether he would have been allowed to do this if it was his. Maritz Chayis seems to assume he wouldn't have been allowed to. Rabbi Yaakov Emden seems to assume he would have been allowed to, but it wouldn't be a lefnei mishuras adin. A chassid is supposed to go lefnei mishuras adin, which we're going to have more about later on in the daf. Tanya says the brisa. Rabbi Shimon Elazar is moda that when you have brand new kelim that you are used to, so in those cases chayv lahachruz, then you're going to have to announce them. The following are new kelim that a person would not be used to right away, and therefore sheinu chayv lahachruz, you would not have to announce them. Kigon, what are such examples? Bade machten v'tzinorios machrozos shel kardumos, the hooks upon which you hang needles, and tzinorios are little forks that they use for spinning gold, umachrozos shel kardumos, and other types of small kelim, these little trinket kelim that you hang on hooks so you don't lose them. And all these things, when are you allowed to keep them? That's if you find one at a time. But if you find two at a time, then you're going to have to announce it. Why? Says Tosfos, dominion have a simon. The number itself is a simon. Wait a second. What about the Bryce says machrozos v'kikaros hare elu shalo, that you get to keep it. Sounds like it's in the plural. So imari derech nefila asi shapir does lo haya minyan simen shen yodea shenaflu basachas. So he says one possible answer is maybe you found it in a way that it clearly had fallen. It clearly was not placed there. In which case the number isn't a simen because the guy has no idea what fell where and how many fell where. Inami mayri derech hinuach v'laka ela machroza achas v'chein igul v'kikar v'adakam machrozos. Sometimes the Mishnah will speak in plural, but it's not talking about that each case is a plural. It's saying in cases of needles, so then this is the halacha. It's not that in each case you find multiple, each case you find one, but it speaks in plural because it's speaking about multiple cases. But he says, wait a second, the Gemara in Tamar's daf is going to be medayik from a plural lashon that we're talking about multiples, that we're not talking about single individual units. Why don't we say over there, no, tibar di alma, we're just talking in general terms, cases like this. He says, right? It should have just said ma'os tzivuros. Why did it say tzibore ma'os? Ma'os tzivuros would get the idea that we're speaking plural, but it's in each case might be talking about an individual. Tzibore ma'os already sounds like you found multiple piles in each case. So that's going to be a case where it could be medayek, that it's where you found more than one. But in our case, we're talking about you found only one, and it's just we use plural, because that's a more general statement. Anyway, my badi, what are badi? We said these badi machten vitzinorios. What are badi? In the Hagos Hagra on the side, it says, if you look at the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, they don't say badi, it just says machten, without the word badin. But anyway, so it says, my badi, shochi. Badi or shochi, which is branches of a tree. If I might call it badi, why are they called badi? Dover de talube midi bad karole. Anything that has something else hanging from it is called a bad. So if you have like a small branch that you use as a hook, that's called a bad. So where do we find that? That something that has something else hanging from it is called a bad. Right? When we talk about the kashrus of Dalad Minim in Masecha Sukkah, and we talk about our Ravos, so there's a shita that even Ala Echad Bibad Echad, a single branch with one leaf on it is called a bad, is kasher. So you see that bad refers to something that has one thing hanging on it. If a person saves something from wild beasts or from an overflowing river, or someone finds something in a public thoroughfare, or any place that has a lot of people commonly found there, you could keep it because the Bailam gave up hope on them. So you buy Lahu. So I ask the Gemara, is going to ask a series of five questions about Rav Shimon Elazar's psak. Kikam Rav Shimon Elazar Barov Kananim. When Rav Shimon Elazar says you get to keep it, is that talking about Dafka when there are mostly non-Jews in the area? Aval Barov Yisrael Lo. But when it's mostly Jews in the area, then we would not say that way. Then you would have to be machriz. Maybe he holds even when it's Rav Yisrael, you're allowed to keep it. Fractosus, Kikam Rav Shimon Barov Kananim. Vim Tomar Imkein Matzarach Tam Ibnei Shabbalim Mesiyashim. If it's Rav Kananim, why do you need to say that the reason you're allowed to keep it is because probably the original owner gave up hope on it? Typically, the Yesh Lithos to Mikananim Nafal Davaruba. Anyway, you should be allowed to keep it because it probably fell from a guy. That's all you need. You shouldn't need anything more than that. Answers Tosos Yeshlomar de Isrich da Filu Yodea Vadei Shemisol Nafal Kamar Harel Shalom. That even if you know that this item fell from a Jew, you're allowed to keep it. Why? Because if it's Rov Kananim that live in the area, the Jew who lost it is likely to assume that whoever finds it will assume it fell from a guy. Right? He'll say that Goyim will find it, and Afilu Misolim same, and even if a Jew finds it, Lo Yachris. He's never going to announce it to tell the Mina Kananim Nafal Dein Ruba, because he'll assume that it fell from a guy. So the fact that it's Rov Kananim helps even if you know for sure that it fell from a Jew. That's why we say Mineshim Messiah Bailam, because you know that it was a Jewish Bailam, and still the Yesh is, and that's why the Yesh is going to matter. So then the Gemara asks Vaiterim Tim Salomar Afilu Barov Yisrael, Nami Amar, and if you can say he holds you can keep it even when it's a case of Rav Yisrael, Pligi Rabbanu Leia Lo Pligi. Did the Rabbanan disagree? Or the Rabbanan agree with him? Vim Tim Salomar Pligi, and if you can say the Rabbanan disagree, and the Rabbanan hold that you're not allowed to keep it, if they disagree, well, we know they would disagree in a case where it's mostly Jews. When it's mostly Jews, for sure, if there's any case that the Rabbanan are going to disagree and say that you're not allowed to keep it, it's going to be when there are mostly Jews. What about when there are mostly non-Jews? Would the Rabbanan disagree over there as well? And if you're going to say they argue even when it's Rav Kananim, that there are two extremes over here. The Rav Shimon Elazar holds you're always allowed to keep it even when it's Rav Yisrael, and the Rabbanan say you're never allowed to keep it even when it's Rav Kananim, halach kamoso ein halach kamoso. Who do we paskin like? And im tim tzlomar halach kamoso, and if you're going to say we paskin like Rav Shimon Elazar, dafka Rav Kananim, do we paskin like him all the way? Or do we paskin like him only when it's Rav Kananim that you're allowed to keep it off, filib Rav Yisrael? Or even when it's Rav Yisrael? So the Gemara is going to try to answer at least some of these questions. We're going to bring a series of rayas. So raya number one, Tashema, Hamotzi Mos B'Bati Knesios B'Bati Midrashos B'Kol Makom Sharav Mitzuyin Sham. If a person finds money in B'Bati Knesios, in shuls, in B'Bati Medrash, or any place where there are a lot of people that go there, Hare Elu Shalom Mipnei Shabbailim Isyash Mehen. You're allowed to keep it because the Bailim had Yeish on it. So Man Sham Le Dazel Basaruba. Who's the one that says that you follow Rove? Now, obviously, not everyone holds you follow Rove. Torah says, Achrab Mahatos, says Tosos. Who's the one that says, Zazel Basaruba, Pirish Gabi Mitzia? Right? Velo Shayach, Hala Plukta the Chashin Lemiyut. This has nothing to do with the general machlokas of whether Chashin Lemiyut or not. No, who's the one that says that you can follow Rove of the kinds of people in that area when it comes to a Mitzia? Rabbi Shimon Elazar. Yes, Rabbi Shimon Elazar. Shramina, Afilu Barov Yisrael Nami. So you see, Rabbi Shimon Elazar holds you're allowed to keep it even when it's Rov Yisrael. How do we know the case is Rov Yisrael? Because it's a shul. It's a base medrash. Of course it's Rov Yisrael. So you see, Rabbi Shimon Elazar holds, even when it's Rov Yisrael, you're allowed to keep it. So answers Gemara, no, Hachamei Eskinan, Bimufuzarin. Now the case is that the money was spread out, and even the Rabbanan are mode that it's money that's spread out, that you're allowed to keep it. So, practically, Gemara, you've been Mufuzarin, my year, Makam Sharab Mitzuyin Sham, affiliated Rab Mitzuyin Sham. But wait a second, if it's Mufuzarin, what does it have to do with Rab Mitzuyin Sham? The guy would be Miyayish even if it's not Rab Mitzuyin Sham. He obviously dropped it, has no idea where it is, so he's Miyayish anyway. So, what does it have to do with Rab Mitzuyin Sham? Eliola Mitzurin. No, it must be that it's wrapped together, meaning that and therefore the guy would not be miyayish as quickly because that's somewhat of a simin. I isn't that a raya then about Rov Yisrael? So says Gemara, no, we're not talking about our shuls, we're talking about their shuls. Batik nesiyos shel kananim. What shuls? Does that mean churches? They're based off of the Zara. So says Rashi, no. Knesios means what does the word mean? Knesios means to gather together. Asifas makom shemiskansim shemlisiyai zulivayid. It's a conference room. That's all it means. It's knesios. It's places of gathering where large numbers of people get together. They gather together. It's a town hall, whatever. It's something like that. It's a place where they get together. Bate midrashos ma'ikal memory. Yeah, that's fine to explain the phrase bate knesios. How can you explain the phrase bate midrashos? So bate midrashos diyan diyasi bukananim. We're talking about our bate midrashos where kananim hang out in because they're outside the city. So we need security forces. So we have kanani security forces, and therefore there are just as many Kananim there as there are Jews. Hashadasa Salachi Bate Knesios Nami Didan the Asum Kananim. And then once we get to that point, you can say the same thing about Bate Knesios as well. So it's no raya. Tashma, let's try to bring another raya. Matzaba Aveda, you find an Aveda in Rav Yisrael, Chayv La'achriz, and Rav Kananim, Eino Chayv La'achriz. If it's mostly Jews, you do have to be Machriz. If it's mostly non-Jews, you don't have to be Machriz. Mancham Le Da Amarazin Basaruba, who's the one that says we follow Rov, Rav Shimon Lazar? Sham Minakikam Rav Shimon Lazar, Rav Kananim, Rav Yisrael Lo. So you see Rav Shimon Lazar only says you're allowed to keep it when it's mostly non-Jews, but when it's mostly Jews, you're not allowed to keep it. So answers Gemara, Hamani Rabbanan. No, maybe that price is going like the Rabbanan. So says Gemara, okay, good, but that still answers one of our questions. Maybe it doesn't answer the first one, but Tifsha Mino de Moda de Rabbanan Shimon Lazar Barov Kananin. So you see that at least the Rabbanan Ramoda to Rabbi Shimon Lazar you get to keep it when it's Rov Kananin. So Ella says Gemara, no, the Yalam Shimon Lazar. It could be that it's going like Rabbi Shimon Lazar, Vafilu Barov Yisrael Nami. And really the same would be true even if it's Rov Yisrael, he'd be allowed to keep it. Vachab Mayaskinon Betamun. But over here we're dealing with something that was Tamun, something that was hidden away. And since it was Tamun, that's why it's only if it's Rov Kananim that you're allowed to keep it. Because if it's Tamun, then it's not an Aveda. So that's why if it's Rov Yisrael, you're going to have to announce it. So frankly, Mari, Ibe Tamun, Maya Vidtagabe. Why do you have it? If you find something covered, hidden, something that someone clearly put away to hide, don't take it. Leave it there. But if you find something that's Magula, that's wide in the out in the open, and anyone could come by and take it, so then you should take it and announce about it, and you should try to find the rightful owner. But if it was Tamun, why do you have it in the first place? So Kedamar of Papa ba'ashba she'in asuy lefanos v'nimlach lelefanosa. Then no, we're dealing with a case that was put away in an ashba that initially was not it wasn't normal for it to be taken away that quickly, and then someone changed their mind and they decided to take it away. So this item is going to get taken away with it. If you don't take it for yourself. So in that case, so either you take it or it's going to become hefker. So that's how you ended up with it in your hands, because it was the garbage was being taken away. Or maybe we could say, really, it's going like the Rabbanan. And still, you don't have to bring a raya that the Rabbanan agreed to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar in the case of Rav Knanim, mi ketani, hein shalom, does it say it's yours? Just says you don't have to be machris. V'yaniach v'yesi Yisrael, v'yav v'yesiman v'shakil. Just means don't go around announcing it, because since it's most Kananim, mostly Kananim live in the area, maybe it belongs to a Kanani, so don't go around and announcing it, but you still don't get to keep it. You should wait till someone comes and sees if he tries to give a simon to try to claim it. You just don't have to be proactive in trying to find the original owner. So again, second attempt at a raya fails as well. Tashma, third attempt at a raya. Dam Ravasi, Matzah Chavis Yain Bi'er Sharuba Kananim Mutaras Mishum Mitziyav Asur Bana. If you find wine in a city that's mostly Kananim, it's mutter in terms of Mitziya, meaning you don't have to be Machriz, you're allowed to keep it, and it's Asur Bahana'a, meaning the Gemara is going to ask, well, then what's the point of keeping it if it's Asur Bahana'a anyway? If a Jew comes and gives a simon, so then the person who found it is going to be allowed to drink it, right? Because you know it's not wine of a Kanani now, so now it's going to be mutter to drink, since it's rov Kananim, your bailim was miyayish from it. But the Bailam then subsequently came and gave a simon, but he was already miyayish from it, so you get to keep it. But now that he gave a simon, you knew that it initially belonged to him, so you know it's not yayin of Nakum, so you know that you're allowed to have it. So Kaman, Rav Shimon and Lazar, Shmamina. So this is going like Rav Shimon and Lazar, Shmamina, Kikam, Rav Shimon and Lazar, Barov Knanim, Barov Yisrael Lo. But you see also clearly from here, Rav Shimon and Lazar only holds his Shita that you're allowed to keep it when it's Rav Knanim, not when it's Rav Yisrael. So says Maranel, the Yolam Emelach, Rav Shimon and Lazar, Afilu, Barov Yisrael, Naami Kamar. Rav Shimon and Lazar would even maintain a Shita when it's Rav Yisrael. Rav Asi, Savala Kavse Bechada, Upalagale Bechada. And it could be that Rav Asi agrees with him halfway and disagrees with him halfway. We don't want to say, it says, we don't want to say that he holds like the Rabbanan, because if you say that he holds like the Rabbanan, then you'd be saying that the Rabbanan are Moda Barov Knanim. But at the very least, we can be poshe the issue in terms of how we would pass on the halacha, meaning even if the Rabbanan are not necessarily Moda by Rav Knanim, but we see clearly that we would hold that by Rav Knanim that you are allowed to keep it. Because then that much Rav Asi paskin like Rav Shimon ben Elazar about, and that would be enough for us to paskin that way as well. So ask the Gemara the question we were waiting for. Wait a second, if it's Asur Ba'ana, then who cares that it's Mutaras Mishum Mitziya? So says Gemara, Am Rav Asi lekankana. No, it's in a jug. You might want to use the jug. You can't use the wine because the wine is Asur for you. But if you find the jug of wine, at least you can use the jug. So that's why it's important to know that it's Mutaras Mishum Mitziya. Says Gemara, Ugavada Ashka Charba Zuzi Ditzari Besadina. A guy found four zuz wrapped up in a cloth, v'shadu b'nar biran, and they were thrown in a harbiran. Asla kamed Rav Yehuda, amalei zilachris, or Rav Yehuda says, you should go and announce about it. Ayva v'zuto shalyam, who was thrown in the river, so isn't that a classic case of zuto shalyam, where the owner never has any hopes of retrieving it? Why should I have to go and be machris? And so Gemara, no, shiny nar biran, kivan demitka lo miyayish. Since Nahar Biran has a lot of rocks, and it's not so easy for things to actually flow down Nahar Biran, they often get stuck on rocks and actually don't travel too far, so it's likely that the original owner was not miyayish from it at all. He assumed it would get caught on a nearby rock, and someone locally would find it. Ayvarubu kananim ninu, but isn't it rov kananim? Shemamina, ein alach rav shimon lazar, afilu rov kananim. So don't you see from here that we're not going to pass rav shimon lazar, even when it's rov kananim, because you see that we say that you have to announce it, even though it's a situation where it's rov kananim? And says, where no? Shani Narbirun, the Yisrael Sachrule, the Yisrael Karule. Narbirun is different because the Jews are the ones, what's Sachrule? I'm not sure what Sachrule is.
Damn it.
The Jews dammed the river. They're the ones working in the river and they're digging it. So given the Yisrael sakrale emrim Yisrael nafel, since the Jews are the ones that dammed the river, we can assume that it fell from a Jew. The given the Yisrael karle lo miyayish, and since Jews are the ones that are digging it, so we assume that it's that the guy was not miyayish, because there are always Jews around to find it, and it's likely that Jews are the ones who lost it. So that's why you have to go and be machris. Rav Yehuda have a shakl va'azel basrei de marshmuel b'shukah de beidisa. Rav Yehuda was following marshmuel in the Shuk of Beidisa. Matzakan Arniki Mahu. So he says, what if you find that, so meaning it's a place where they sell, Rashi says, where they sell wheat and porridge and cereal, and there are a lot of people around. So he says, if I find a wallet over here, what would I do with it? So Amalei, Harei L'Shalo, what would you do with it? You'd keep it. What if then a Jew came and gave a simon for it? Then you would have to return it. So he says, Tarti, really? Why should that both be true? Meaning, if I would be allowed to keep it, shouldn't we assume that the original Yisrael who lost it was Miyayish? In which case, I shouldn't have to return it to him? Amar lei, lefnim yishuras adin. Yeah, you're right, lahalacha, you're right, you'd be allowed to keep it, but you're supposed to go lefnim yishuras adin. Kiyad avod shmuel ashkachana chamrei b'midbara, just like Marshmuel found donkeys in the midbar, v'adrinu l'marai l'basar treser yachishas, and he returned it to its rightful owners, even 12 months after they were originally lost. Why? Lefnim yishuras adin. It was an extra chumra to go lefnim yishuras adin in that case. Rava avashakal v'azil, Basrei Rav Nachman b'shuka de Galda'i. Rava was following Rav Nachman in the shuk of the Galda'i, of the leather workers. Va'amri lo b'shuka de Rabbanan. Some say in the shuk of the Rabbanan. Amalei matza karnar nekimahu. He said, what if I found a wallet here? Amalei harei l'shalo, you get to keep it. Bo yisol v'nasim asimun mahu. What if a Jew gave a simon to it? Amalei harei l'shalo, you get to keep it. Va'lo amad v'tzavach. What if the guy's screaming, it's mine, I gave you a simon. Yeah, he's screaming because he lost something. Meaning, it's the same thing you scream when your boat sinks in the ocean. You're not getting your boat back just because you're screaming. You're screaming because you know it's lost. So the fact that he's tzavach is not indicative of him not being miyayish. He was miyayish. He's just tzavach because he's upset. There was a vulture that took meat from the shuk and threw it in palm trees. So asel came to Abaye. So they came to Abaye. Amalei zil shakel nafshech. Abaye said, "Yeah, you can keep it." But isn't it mostly Jews around here? Shamina lach Rav Shimon Elazar. I feel Rav Yisrael. So you see that we pass on Rav Shimon Elazar, even when it's Rav Yisrael that you're allowed to keep it. So it says, "Mar no shiny dayo de kazuta shel yam dami." When a vulture takes it, you sort of give up hope on it. So that's why even if it's Rav Yisrael, you're allowed to keep it. Aye, but wait a second. Vamarav basun shalim inayin aser. Isn't there a basic halacha that when you lose sight of meat that you were that was yours, but you didn't see it the whole time, so it's aser. Why is it aser? Because you don't have a tefiyas ayin on it. It's aser because you have to assume that maybe you switched for another piece of meat. So maybe it's a trefa piece of meat. So the bird came and took it. So yeah, you can't just assume it's kasher. So says Gemara ba'omid v'ro ehu. No, you saw the bird take the meat from a kosher place and bring it to these palm trees, but because the original owner is miyayish from it, as soon as the bird takes it, as soon as the vulture takes it, even though you know who it belongs to, you saw it taken straight out of a kosher butcher shop, still you're allowed to keep it. So before we go weiter, it's just important, we had this concept, there's a million things to discuss here, but whatever, we're limited. We have this concept of lefnim yishuras hadin, right? So Tosfos over here discusses, what's the source of lefnim yishuras hadin? Where do we find such an idea of going lefnim yishuras hadin? So Tosfos says, me'asher yasu nafkalan lekaman pirkin. The Gemara in six blot from now, is going to have a beferish drasha from asher yasun to learn out the concept of lefnim yishuras hadin. Frektosus though, tema to lomaisi kra hacha. Why does the Gemara not bring that pasuk over here? Meaning over here we mention the concept twice of the lefnim yishuras hadin. Kedemaisi lekaman buvdi Rabbi Shmuel ba'gos lekama buvdi Rabbi Chia b'maradina l'shulchanim v'nim tzara. You have lots of cases where the Gemara brings up cases of the lefnim yishuras hadin and quotes a pasuk. And not only that, later on the Gemara is going to bring a different pasuk. Quotes a separate pasuk as midivrei kabbalah. V'shavet krad asher yasin, and leaves aside the pasuk of asher yasin, which is midivrei torah. So the Tosfos says we have three types of lefnim yishuras hadin. We have sometimes the Gemara quotes a pasuk from the chumash, sometimes it quotes a pasuk midivrei kabbalah, and sometimes it quotes no pasuk at all. So what's going on? Says Tosfos Yisholmu de lo maisi krad asher yasin el b'makom sha'achirim chayavin v'hu pater. We quote the pasuk of asher yasin if it's a a kind of lifnim yishur sadin that other people are chayiv in, and you're pater. But you decide to act like you're chayiv, and to go out of your way to treat it like a chayiv. We'll see what that is, and we're going to get into it now. He goes through all the cases. But if it's a case, in our case, everyone would be pater. No one would be chayiv after 12 months to go and return it. And that's why we don't bring a pasuk over here. But still, if nimi shur sadin, you should go and return it. But over there, where we quote the pasuk from Divrei Kabbalah, that's where we're talking about a case where a guy's going to lose money. So essentially, there are three types of lifnim yishur hadin. There's a case where someone else is going to be chayiv, I'm not chayiv, and then I do it anyway. That's where we quote the pasuk midivrei Torah. There's a case where I'm not going to lose anything, but nobody is chayiv to do this. Like the case of you finding something after 12 months, that's when we don't quote any pasuk at all. And then there are cases where I'm going to lose out a great deal, and still there's a lifnim yishur hadin. That's where we have the pasuk midivrei Kabbalah.